Men or women? Women know it better, right? Because they are famous for talking. They cannot keep quiet for a little time also. And there's so many, in scriptures also so many things are written that women talk and so many things happen. So this talking is a very, very important human urge. Right from the time we are born till the person who dies, they want to talk. As soon as the baby comes out of mother's womb, he starts crying. He wants to convey some message, but in his own way. And throughout the life, we are expressing so many things, and person while dying also, he has so many things to tell. So many times. So this urge of talk, and it cannot be stopped. Like, even the person is born dumb, still, there are so many ways that they can express what they want to say. So, just 2 months back, I was returning from Guruvayur, and airport we were waiting in launch, and on television, news was going on. And that time was heavy campaign of Narendra Modi was going on. So, there was a dumb person's interview was going on. So it was very amazing, I saw that dumb person. They also want to express that how they want the government, to good government, good governance. So this talking, unstoppable urge of a human being. And it is not only limited to human being, actually. No living entity is exempt from it, whether it is bird or whether it is an animal. Human beings also we are talking, but this species also, they also express, they also want to talk. Anybody has faced a barking dog? What they want to say? They want to say so many things. So animals also talk. So basically, what is the difference? Human beings is little more advanced than animals and little more developed. We have got little more intelligence than them, and we have this got facility to verbally express whatever we want to say. And it's just not talking that it is way of expression. There's various ways of communication. In olden days, there were books. People want to say something, they would write down the books. And that would go on. Then the magazines came. Can you tell me how many languages in all over the world magazines must be getting printed? We don't know. Even in India, we just count. There are 29 states with all union territories. And even if we just count one language per state, it is 29 languages in India itself. So imagine, and wherever, whichever state you go, you see some magazine in that language, isn't it? And wherever we go, magazines, they cover so many subject matters. For news, there is a separate magazine, there's analytical magazine, there's social magazine, crime magazine, Hollywood, Bollywood, fashion, cooking, health, fitness, medical, science, research, so on and on and on. We can go on so many subject matters. Magazines get printed. Because people want to read, and people want to, those who are writing, they want to express their thoughts. And they want to convey to the general mass. So, but apart from that, not the last but least is also spiritual magazines. Isn't it? There are spiritual magazines also. People want to increase their knowledge. Srila Prabhupada, in 1944, he started this magazine called Back to Godhead, BTG magazine. His aim of starting this magazine was that there will be such spiritual matter printed in this magazine, and people should read it so that it guides them to on their path to back to Godhead. So it is almost 60 years now. This magazine is still getting printed and getting distributed all over the world. And his Guru Maharaj, he was also very much into printing, and he would say that I want to start a newspaper. We have so many newspapers. All so many Marathi, Hindi, Gujarati, in Bombay we see, Sakar, Sandhyakar, Madhyahan, everything. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say that I want to start a spiritual newspaper. So, disciples said that, okay, fine, but what are you going to print so much? What matter will have? We will have so much matter to print, like thrice a day, newspaper, every day, we should have something. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, this universe is having two sections. There is a material world and there is a spiritual world. Material world comprises only 1/4 section of this universe. And the spiritual world comprises 3/4 section of the whole universe. And in the material universe, there are innumerable planets, and it is described they are like a bag of mustard seeds. Have you seen mustard seed? Can you count if there is a bag and there you want to count mustard seed, how many hours it will take for you if somebody gives you a bag? So this universe, material universe, is like that. So it's a bag of mustard seeds, and so many universes, galaxies and everything are there. And out of that, our own galaxy is there. Out of that, one Earth planet is there. And if we have studied science in our schools, then we know that Earth is not such a big planet actually. There's a Jupiter and so many other bigger planets are there. So on this Earth planet only, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that you have so many things to print. Newspapers all over the world, still it doesn't get over. So he said, his argument was that in spiritual world is 3/4 of this universe, creation. So how many things must be going on there? Only thing is that somebody should be there for you to link, so that that person can give you the news. So when such pure devotee is there, they have access to the all the activities of the spiritual world. So this was his basic idea, and he was also very much, he told Srila Prabhupada to print books as much as possible and distribute in as many as languages as possible. And after that, Prabhupada translated so many books in English language, and then they have been being distributed all over the world since last 40-45 years in so many languages all over the world, basically. So after the books came, magazines came, telephone, way of communication. And it was very good, very, very helpful way of communication. Then came idiot box. It is called idiot box, because it seems that a person who watches too much becomes an idiot. That means, direct meaning seems like that. But this television, when I was in school, to have one black and white television in the house is a big prestigious issue, you know. And people would go from one building to another building to watch that Sunday movie on every Sunday, Doordarshan, and only one channel was there. One antenna and one channel. And people would go, so many, that person's house will be full of people, you know. And we would go. But now, as the technology has advanced, how many channels are there? We cannot count. And it has made people more confused what they want to watch. They are always shuffling the channels, pressing the buttons, and ultimately they don't know what actually they want to watch. They keep shuffling, and television is a good media to really give you help, but it is create a problem like addiction in younger group of people. In Americans, they are very fond of statistics, so they took out statistics that an average American watches television for 6 hours. For 6 hours they watch television. And this is a big problem in America. So after this television invention came invention of mobile phone. At that time we never thought that sitting at one place I can talk to somebody at some 50 kilometers away, you know. The only landline telephone was there. So this mobile phone came. And after that, the thing came, that is internet. And it is a revolution in the world of communication. Internet created revolution. Means, in my childhood I remember that people used to have pen friends. They would write across the country, they would write letters of some students of some university, and they make friendship by letters. They don't know who is, how that person looks, what is the nature of the person. But they would just exchange some letters and maybe some photographs and some information about each other. But now, through the emails and everything, communication has become so easy and so fast. And then, all these social networking sites came. Facebook and now WhatsApp. It is like, WhatsApp is, what is happening? We don't know what is happening actually. So, even devotees sometimes get caught in this network. It is network, means it really catches you. It just work, that net works on you so much that you don't realize. Just I was coming for the lecture from station, and I saw one girl. She is sitting on two-wheeler. She's not holding anything, and she's holding a mobile phone, and whatever she's doing with her mobile phone, you know, she's not bothered about anything. If the headphone is there, and she's doing all these things. So many times it's addicting me also. Even if I see somebody, some people, you know, they keep doing this touch screen, they keep touching. Even if nothing is there, it becomes addiction, you know, ultimately. And of course, so many benefits are there of the social networking sites also. But the disadvantages and harm also it has created. So many crimes happen through this social networking site. So basically, so fast communication, technology, scientists want to advance further and further and further and make it more and more fast, so that thinking that this will make people happy. But in the meanwhile, after all these things also, people's sorrowness, people emptiness in the heart, hollowness in the heart, it is not gone. In fact, it has increased. Because I was just seeing one video clip somebody forwarded to me. In that person is saying that before this social networking sites came on mobile phone, people would sit with each other and talk. They would communicate with body, you know. But now they are sitting with side by side, but they are communicating through mobile phone. So that eye contact is not there. The relationship have gone down so much, it has become so hollow. So actually it has not helped our relationships, and a human being cannot become happy unless they are happy in their relationships. So what is it that this emptiness and hollowness, unfortunately in our textbooks this solution is not written. It teaches us everything about our education, means you get a degree, you get a good job, earn a lot of money, have a good house, have a luxurious life. But about all this, our emotional questions, nobody is there to answer in universities. But answer is there, where available where? In our Vedic scriptures. So similar thing happened to Vedavyas also. Srila Vedavyas, he wrote so many Vedas, he wrote so many Puranas, Upanishads, and after that also, he was not happy. He wrote so many spiritual knowledge and made books, and then he approached his gurus, his spiritual master Narad Muni, that why is this happening? I am writing such spiritual matter and writing down for further generations for them to know all these things, but somehow I am not feeling happy and satisfied. So what was Narad Muni's answer? He said that all this you have done is very fantastic job you have done. But one thing you have not done is that you have not described the pastimes and activities of Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is Krishna. If you do that, then your heart will get ultimate satisfaction. And then Vedavyas Muni, he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. 18 cantos he wrote. And in those cantos, he describes so many incarnations of Lord and all the activities of all these incarnations and glorification of his devotees, and then his heart felt complete satisfaction. So how these things apply to us? That means that unless you connect to God, that inner fulfillment, that your emptiness of the heart, hollowness of the heart, you cannot overcome unless we connect with the God. So if there is a bird, many people's houses, they have a bird in a cage, right? And suppose I have a bird in a cage and I really take fantastic care of this cage. I'll get a designer cage for the bird, you know, get it nicely painted, keep it spick and span. But will that help the bird? If I don't do anything for the bird, bird needs its own nourishment. It has to be kept. You have to keep feeding it on regular basis. You have to take care of it. If they fall sick, they have to take care of it. So, just taking care of the cage is not enough. So, suppose they had introduced me as Kalindi Mataji. So I'm a doctor. And I have a family, I have friends, I have so many duties to perform, so many responsibilities. So, all this is compared to a cage, the outer covering. If I, it is my duty to be a good human being, to be a good doctor, to responsibly perform all my duties. But just doing that is not enough. Just like taking care, care of cage is not enough. So what is that bird? What is an important element in me? That is my soul. My soul is that important element within me, which is a living force. Like without bird, cage will not have any meaning. However good the cage is there, if bird is dead, bird is not there, cage doesn't have a meaning. Similarly, if there is no soul in the body, that body no more remains important. Whether it may be the superstar, or maybe some prime minister, or maybe some president of United States, whoever's body, but the one soul lives, that body has no meaning. Then all the designations that I'm a doctor, I'm a woman, I'm mother, I'm a friend, all designations don't work once the soul leaves the body. So this knowledge of soul is very, very important for us to know. And the knowledge of the soul is given in Bhagavad Gita. What is this knowledge? Basic knowledge it is. As soon as Krishna started speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjun, first chapter of the Gita, it describes all the verbal communications between Dhritarashtra and Sanjay. Dhritarashtra is asking Sanjay that just tell me what is happening. Now, Dhritarashtra is blind, he is sitting somewhere. But Sanjay had a divine vision, just like as if he is watching television, live, telecast. He could tell him whatever is happening at that time, live, at that moment, he could tell him whatever is happening. So the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita is comprising all these dialogues, that who is doing what. Sanjay is telling him, now Kauravas have assembled, Pandavas have assembled, this one is blowing his conch, that one is blowing his conch, and how all the soldiers have arranged in a particular fashion for the war. And second chapter, then Krishna started speaking to Arjun. Then Arjuna inquired that my condition is so bad now. I am not able to, I have totally lost control over myself. And whatever abilities and qualities and or whatever skills I had, like he was supposed to be the best archer of the world. But that time he was feeling so weak on mental level that he couldn't hold his bow. The best archer of the, it's like today now, football championship going on, and Messi is telling that I can't touch football. It is like that, you know. So Arjuna, best archer, and he is telling that I can't even hold the bow. And then how Krishna has started speaking? He started speaking from the science of the soul. So one of the first verses were that Dehi nosmi natha dehe komaram yovanam jara tatha dehantara prapti Dhiras Tatyana Muyate. Krishna told, translation of this verse is that this conditioned soul passes from childhood to youth to old age. And at the time of death, the soul passes from one body to another. And one person who is a sober knows about it and he doesn't get bewildered by it. And after that verse, Krishna spoke the quality of the soul. What is soul exactly? So he said, Najayatan najayate namriyate vakajatin nayam bhutva bhavitana bhuya ajo nityo shashvato puranam na hanyate hanyamane sharire. Najayate namriyate means soul is a thing which never dies or never born. And it has never come into being, it will never come into being. And soul is unborn, it is eternal, it is ever existing, it is primeval, and it is not slain when the body is slain. Now this is little bit more philosophical, very difficult to understand unless we have commentary of acharyas. But in short, the simple meaning of this is that it is a soul which never changes. It always remains. Just like today my name is so and so. Before, so many girls, they get married and their names change, right? But does that girl change? No. Her name is changed. Means she is not that name. So many times people come across accidents and their face changes. The appearance changes, but does that person change? No. That means that person is not that appearance. So many times people become blind and they can't do anything. Does that mean that person no more exists? No, person is same. And sometimes we say we are Indian. I am a hardcore Indian, like Narendra Modi follower, you know. I'm a hardcore Indian nationalist. But suppose I have to go and stay in some other country. Does it mean that I have changed? No, I am the same person who was living in India. So who is that person? Who is that thing which has not changed? It is a soul within me that has not changed. So in US, there is one doctor. I was seeing one documentary. So these doctors, so much, sometimes we girls, women feel so much frustrated and they feel, I wish I was a man, you know. When some people go further step, and they change the sex. So this doctor is a doctor. First he got his own sex changed from male to female. And now he helps, so-called he helps others to change their sex. So he changed his sex. But did he change? No. He is the same person within. So that same person within is a soul. So it is a soul that we have to take care of it also along with our body. And this soul is Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, in the next chapter, Krishna is telling that this soul is part and parcel of me, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I am the father, seed-giving father of all the living entities. And when the child will get complete peace and satisfaction, only when if a crying child is there, you give him all kinds of toys, all kinds of sweets, Cadbury's, chocolates. Will that crying child get... You can't make him quiet, right? He's crying. But as soon as you take him to the parents, he's completely peaceful, satisfied, because he knows this person loves me and he'll protect me. Similarly, when soul is connected to God, Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it attains the ultimate peace, ultimate pleasure, ultimate satisfaction of the heart. But how to connect? Now for me and you, people like me and you, know, it is very difficult. And it is not so easy to see God. Unless we see somebody, how can we connect? So I cannot see God around. So God takes different forms. And like, just like in this temple, we have come and we take darshan and he is in form of a deity. So what is purpose of deity? Said that there are five forms in which deities can be accepted. Either it is metal or it's a wood or it is earth or it's a stone or it's a picture. If other things are not available, just picture of Lord is also can be accepted as a deity. We see so many types of deities. Some deities are made of metal, some deities are made of earth, then some deities are made of stone, wood, and then none of these is there, then picture of Lord, you know. That is all, that also can be considered deity. So the form of deity, it's ultimately earthly element, but Lord enters into that deity. He manifests his energy in this deity on the request of his pure devotee. A devotee invites the Lord. And when that deity gets presence of the Lord, then we can serve the deity. We can do so many things for the deity. Just like we have Radha Gopinath, we have Gaurnithai, we have Gopalji deity. So devotees do so many service. They cook for them, they dress for, they dress them, they bathe them, they make nice jewelry for them, make nice dresses for them. So this way you build relationship, isn't it? So there are many, many examples in past also. And they are true stories. They are not some mythological stories. So today is Guru Purnima, if everybody is aware. So on this day of Guru Purnima in Vrindavan, there is a very, very big festival. And the most biggest festival in Vrindavan and Govardhan is they celebrate disappearance of Sanatan Goswami. The very saintly devotee, pure devotee, who was there in Lord Chaitanya's time 500 years ago. So, that time before Lord Chaitanya's appearance, Advaita Acharya was staying in Vrindavan. And there, in his dream, this deity appeared, that he said that, I am hiding in this tree. The tree had a big cave sort of things. And then I am hiding inside. It was covered in front with grass. So, next day Advaita Acharya got up and he looked inside the tree and he could find the deities. And he named this deity as Madan Gopal deity. And then he started serving him. For few years he was serving. Then Advaita Acharya, he shifted to Navadvip. He shifted to some other area of India. And that time he passed down this deity to devotee in Mathura called Purushottam Chobe. And this Purushottam Chobe also would take care of this deity just like his son, you know. He used to make nice prasad, they give him nice bath, make nice dresses for him. And one day, this Madan Gopal again, he came in dream of Purushottam Chobe. That now I want to get served by my very pure devotees, that is Sanatan Goswami. He is a saint and he will come to you and please give me to him to take care of. And at the same time, Madan Gopal, he came in dream of Sanatan Goswami. That please go to this house where I am residing. And I want to be served by you. Now, who is Sanatan Goswami? He was actually a prime minister in kingdom of Nawab Hussain. That time Bengal, West Bengal, now it is West Bengal. But that time Bengal was the whole country, East plus West Bengal both. And it was under rulership of King Nawab Hussain Sen, a Muslim ruler. And Muslim rulers were very, very smart. They would appoint Hindu ministers, you know, who will be very loyal, who will be very honest and very intelligent. So, Sanatan Goswami was appointed by this King Nawab Hussain Shah as his prime minister. But Sanatan Goswami, at certain time in his life, he felt that I want to renounce everything and just engage in devotional service of the Lord. So, he left this kingdom and he came to Vrindavan. And now, he was just, even though he was living in such luxury palaces, so many servants around, but now he did not even have a house in Vrindavan. And that time Vrindavan was not what we see today. It was just trees and bushes and forest. And he would every day, not even a fixed tree he had to sleep. Every day he would sleep under different trees. So now he got this dream and he went to Purushottam Chobe's house. And Purushottam Chobe, he handed over deity of Madan Gopal. And Sanatan Goswami was a mendicant. Every day he would go and do Madhukari. And he would beg at people's house. And that time, sannyasi saints were very genuine. And people would give them some donation, you know. And not money. They would give him some grains or food, some atta, something like that. So Sanatan Goswami, whole day he would be writing scriptures and worshipping Lord. And sometime he would go into Madhukari and he would get some atta. He will mix it with Yamuna water and put in fire. So it will become something like bati and he will just have that. And before eating, he would offer that to Madan Gopal. So now once Madan Gopal started speaking to him, that you are just feeding me this, it is so bland, you know, at least put some salt in it, this bati. Sanatan Goswami told him that, now you are asking me today salt, I am a mendicant, tomorrow you ask me sweetmeats, from where I will get? If you want to be with me, you have to just eat this only. So this was his loving reciprocation between Madan. And then Sanatan Goswami renamed this deity as Madan Mohanji. And today also this same deity is there in Karoli in Rajasthan. And later on, when Sanatan Goswami, some very wealthy person, donated lot of Lakshmi to Sanatan Goswami, and he made very very grand temple for Madan Mohanji, and he arranged nice worship for Madan Mohanji. And similar other story is story of Madhvendra Puri. Madhvendra Puri also, again, he was a mendicant saint. He was just living here, there, and once he was sleeping in Govardhan area, and he got this, one small child came and gave him milk. Ke, Baba, Baba, please take this milk. So he said, how come you came to know that I am hungry, I have not eaten or drunk anything since so many days. Saying, in my village nobody goes hungry. So you please drink this milk, I am a cowherd boy here. And this is milk from my cow. And when he drank this milk, he felt it's a nectar, you know. It's just such fulfillment in the heart. And then he went to sleep. And in his sleep, Gopalji appeared in his form, saying, "My this form of deity is hiding in these bushes. Please take me out and I wanted to get worshipped." So he again got up in the night, and he, with the village help of all the villagers, they removed all the bushes, and there was the deity of Gopalji. Then they installed, Madhvendra Puri installed the deity of Gopalji in Govardhan, and they arranged the festival of Annakuta for Govardhan, for Gopalji in Govardhan. And this deity worship was going on for some time. Then Gopalji came in Madhvendra Puri's dream that it is summer now, it is so hot. I need some coolness, it is too hot, I cannot tolerate. So please get me some sandalwood pulp. Now that time it was not that you just order and you get a courier, it was not like that. Neither there was any train or bus to go. And that time sandalwood was available only in southern parts of the India. And then that person who were wanting to have, they had to travel all the way south. So from Vrindavan, Govardhan, he started walking. And on the way, he came across in Orissa, he came to one temple, Remuna. In Remuna, this deity of Gopinath was there. So for this Gopinath, there is a very special kheer they would offer every day. So this kheer was very famous. The kheer prasad of Gopinath was very famous in Remuna. And then since he was a traveler there, somebody gave him Mahaprasad, Madhvendra Puri, that please take this Mahaprasad of Gopinath. And then Madhvendra Puri ate it, and then it was such nectar, so he thought, I wish I could offer, you know. It was, before he ate, it was very very fragrant, and it was not offered still to Lord. So it was very fragrant, and then Madhvendra Puri thought, oh my God, before it is offered only I am thinking about it. I am such an offender, I will not eat this kheer, you know. So he went to sleep, and what happened was that there were 12 pots offered to Gopinath, and then when Pujari removed after offering, it was only 11 pot. And then that deity of Gopinath came in dream of this Pujari, and he said that there is one pot of kheer which I have hid behind myself in the deity room. Please take that and give this to a devotee called Madhvendra Puri who is passing by this village of Remuna. And then Pujari, he started shouting, who is this Madhvendra Puri? Who is this Madhvendra Puri? And the Gopinath has stolen kheer for him. And Madhvendra Puri, being a devotee, is so humble, and he didn't want to come in front. But then he came and accepted. Now Madhvendra Puri became very famous. And he went to Jagannath Puri. And on the way, already this news was spreading very fast, that Gopinath stole kheer, pot of kheer for Madhvendra Puri. So by the time he reached Jagannath Puri, already some devotees had sandalwood with them. So they gave him. And then he didn't have to go so much south. And he was taking back with lot of effort, because by this time he was very old. With lot of effort he was carrying this sandalwood. Again he reached the this village of Remuna. So Gopalji that time he came in his dream. And he told him that you don't need to carry all this sandalwood pulp to Vrindavan and offer me. You just make pulp out of this and you offer to my this form of Gopinath. And when Gopinath will accept, I have also received, thinking like that. I have already accepted. So he accepted. So these are the true stories. These are not just mythological stories. And when we go to Vrindavan, the most famous temple today also is temple of Banki Bihari. It is maximum rush is in temple of Banki Bihari. So Banki Bihari had a devotee named Haridas. And this devotee was blind and he was outcast. He was not allowed to do deity worship. So the very special seva he would do is that every day he would write new poems for Banki Bihari and sing for him. And he was such an excellent singer. But he wanted to use his skill only to worship and serve the Lord. Even it is said that Tansen, one of the Navaratnas of Akbar, he would come and learn music from Haridas. He was such a, he had such high degree of music knowledge. So this Haridas, what poems he used to write every day? Every day he was blind, he could not take darshan of Lord, but he would just describe, today my Lord is wearing this dress, and he would describe the whole dress, and it would be the same. Even though he was blind, Lord would appear within his heart and give him darshan. So this pujari used to wonder whether he is really blind. Let us test him. So one day pujaris didn't put a single cloth on Lord, on the deity of Banki Bihari, and they opened the darshan. And then Haridas came and he sat down there and he started poem and he started singing, "Oh my God, today my Lord is naked, you know, and today he is not wearing anything and he is looking so beautiful." And then all these pujaris really know this is, he is a pure devotee of the Lord and he has direct connection with the Lord, and then he was respected so much and worshipped by so many devotees. And today also there is samadhi of Haridas in Vrindavan, in Nidhivan. So, and some days back Ashadi Ekadashi went. What is Ashadi Ekadashi famous for? Pandharpur, right? Pandharpur. And Pandharpur, this deity of Vithal and Rukmini is there. Rakhumai, they say Rakhumai. So another Skanda Purana, Padma Purana, they describe in that, it is story of Vithal Devi is described that once Radharani visited from Vrindavan, she came to Dwarka, and she visited Dwarka after so many years, and Krishna was king there and Rukmini was there, and Rukmini saw that Krishna is having such intimate dealings with Radharani and she didn't like it, you know. Whenever a woman gets angry, what she does? She goes to a maternal house, right? So Rukmini was from Vidarbha, Maharashtra. So Rukmini came back to Maharashtra and she started staying in one forest near Pandharpur. So Krishna came all the way to Pandharpur just to manav her. But he was trying so many things, but she just remained unmoved. She was not... she's saying, "I'm not agreeing now, I'm too angry." So Krishna said, "Okay, till her anger settles down, I will visit my bhakta, my devotee is there, who is Pundarik, who is living very nearby in Pandharpur." So Krishna went to Pandharpur. And when he went to meet Pundarika, he went to his house and he said, "Okay, I want to meet you, speak with you." So Pundarik, he told him that, "I am just now serving my parents, you please wait." And he gave him a brick to Krishna. And he said, "You please stand on this and wait. I'll just come." And then Krishna waited there. And meanwhile, Rukmini's anger also melted away. She also came. And she also was standing on the brick. And there Krishna, stood like this with his two hands on his waist. And he's waiting, standing, you know. So this is reciprocation between devotee and Lord. So why we cannot experience it? So it is not that everybody can experience it. In Kurukshetra war, Krishna was personally present. But only Pandavas could appreciate presence of Lord's. So many millions of soldiers were there in Kurukshetra who fought the war and who were dead on the battlefield. even Duryodhan, but they could not appreciate. So for that we have to get qualified. And what is the first qualification? Is to have a faith. First year we have to have faith in the Lord. We have to develop faith in the Lord. There's one boy, he reached adulthood and father said that we have a custom, so you have to follow that custom, then only you will be declared as a grown up man. So he's saying this condition you have to follow. And then father took him to a forest. He blindfolded him and then selected one stone and told this boy, that his son, that now you have to sit throughout the night on this stone blindfolded, and you cannot ask for help from anybody. You have to just remain in this forest alone. So now the son, he was definitely wanting to be declared as a man in the morning. So he was willing to endure this, and throughout the night, you know, in jungle, nowadays we don't experience jungle, just in the movies only we hear the noises, but he was live in the jungle. And he was hearing all the noises of different kinds of birds and animals, very scary. And wind was blowing and he was feeling so cold, it started raining also, but he didn't remove his blindfold, neither he tried to see. And condition was that unless the rays of the sun in the morning falls on his eyes, he cannot remove the blindfold. So somehow the night passed and the sunshine started, rays of sun started falling on his face. So he removed the blindfold, and that time what did he see? He saw that his father was just sitting by his side on another stone. He was just sitting there taking care of the son and protecting him. So what is the moral? And watching entire night that nothing is happening to my son. So we too are never alone, actually. Whether we see God around us, Lord around us or no, but he is always there. The devotee develops his faith. And we walk by faith, not by the sight. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would say often to his disciples that do not try to see God. You just should perform such activities so that Lord wants to come and see you. You don't try to see Lord. Many times people challenge, you know, that if he is God, he should do this. He should do this chamatkar, that chamatkar, then I will believe. But is it easy for you to meet Salman Khan today? Is it easy? Not easy. Aishwarya, Amitabh Bachchan, all these superstars, and they are just mortal beings. Narendra Modi, if you are fans of Narendra Modi sitting in this room, is it easy to meet them? If you say Narendra Modi udhar hai to mere samne aaja, to aa jayega kya Narendra Modi samne? Then who is God? He is the creator of the whole world. He is not bound to your order. It is his wish when he wants to appear to you. And our duty is to just perform, follow his instructions, and when he is pleased, he will automatically appear. So main fault is basically from our side, because God always wants to come and help us. It is we who keep him away. Mundaka Upanishad and Katha Upanishads, they describe, in that this analogy is described, that our soul and God, he is a super soul. So they are like two birds. Just like two birds, they are sitting on one tree. They are like friends. But one bird is very busy eating the fruits of the tree. And other bird is just watching on the first bird, that when he will look at me. So the first bird is a soul. That he is just busy trying to enjoy things around. Just going from one tree to another. Going one tree to another, analogizes that we are changing the bodies, going one body to another, trying to enjoy the fruits of this material world. But all the time, the second bird is always there beside us, waiting. When this, my friend will look at me. And when that, when this bird will look at the super soul, Lord, then all his anxieties will, he can become free from all the anxieties. So he has to basically connect, this bird has to connect to the super soul. Then only he can derive all the benefits. If he doesn't connect, then he cannot get all the benefits. So there are ways of connection. And Bhagavad Gita said, connection means yoga. This is actual meaning of word yoga, to connect, to unite. Yoga is not just some physical exercises. It has a much, much deeper meaning. It is to connect to the Lord. And various types of yogas are described according to different yogas to achieve the perfection, to achieve the loving service of the Lord. So there are karma yoga, there is a dhyana yoga, there is a gnana yoga, there is ashtanga yoga, and there is bhakti yoga. These are the yogas describing Bhagavad Gita. Krishna personally describing all these things to Arjun. So karma yoga, again, you have to do proper activities. Little bit mistake, then you get negative markings. Again, dhyana yoga means you have to meditate. And meditate, just there are so many rules you have to follow for that meditation. Then there is a gnana yoga. Gnana yoga means that person studies scriptures like anything, and then ultimately he achieves the conclusion, he reaches the conclusion as the Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I want to serve him. And then there is Ashtanga Yoga. There are the eight elements are there that has to be followed, and this is very difficult. It is given, all the details are given in Bhagavad Gita. But Krishna told himself to Arjuna that all these to follow in Kali Yuga is very, very difficult. Not possible for people in Kali Yuga to follow strictly the Ashtanga Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, Karma Yoga. But Bhakti Yoga, very easy. Very easy. Bhakti Yoga means there are nine limbs of Bhakti Yoga. Shravana, Kirtana, Smarana, Vandanam, Padasevanam, Dasam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. So, just by the nine limbs of devotional service of Bhakti is Shravana Kirtanam. Shravana means just by hearing about the Lord. Kirtanam means about taking name of the Lord either by speaking or by chanting. Then Smaranam, just by remembering the pastimes of the Lord. Then Padasevanam, just by serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Dasyam, just do any service for the Lord. Sakhyam, serving the Lord like a friend. Then Archanam, deity worship. And ultimate is Atmanivedanam, that is complete surrender to the Lord. Any of these things we can do to serve Lord, we can achieve the perfection and we can connect to the Lord. But still, in Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma is chanting the holy name. Out of all this, most important is to chant the holy name. And this Kali Santana Upanishad describes that this chanting of Hare Krishna, it is Mahamantra, and that will take the living entity to the desired path of going back to Godhead. So, and also it is written that Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyatha. So anything we want to stress upon, it is told three times, right? In serials you see, na, they turn the face three times. Ho gaya, ho gaya, ho gaya. I mean, really want to stress, you know? So like that, our scriptures also want to stress something. And what they want to stress? They say, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Eva Kevalam. Eva Kevalam means, this is the only way. Only way, only way. Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyatha. In Kali Yuga, there is no other way, no other way, no other way than chanting holy name, chanting holy name, and chanting holy name. This is how it is stressed. So, the most easy thing to do is to chant the holy name on regular basis. And since today's topic is talking, right? And how can we talk? If you don't have tongue, can you talk? No. Tongue is described as radar of our body, actually. So, in a boat, radar is the most important thing. Wherever the radar will guide, the boat will follow that direction. So, our tongue also has a similar important role in our body. You know, whatever you speak, how you speak, that will decide your future. And also what you eat, that will decide future of your health, how long you will survive in this body. So this speaking and eating, the most important functions of our most important organ of the body, that is tongue. So when we, this tongue can be very easily utilized to connect with the God. Our speaking can be utilized by chanting the holy name. With this tongue, we can chant the holy name on regular basis. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And eating only Krishna Prasad. Krishna Prasad means the pure vegetarian food which is offered to Lord. When it is offered to Lord, it becomes Prasad. And when we can do these two things, then we can start connecting. And by doing these two things, we can begin our devotional service, which comprises of the nine limbs of bhakti. And there are many great souls, great devotees, pure devotees, who have experienced Lord's presence in their life. And when we follow in their footsteps and we perform, we engage our mind and senses in devotional service, and then it is not difficult. It is not very difficult to experience God in our life. God may not directly come and talk to you, but through so many circumstances, through so many instances, they will make sure, you know, you will realize that, yes, my Lord is protecting me. He has done this for me. So, I really request that everybody who has not started chanting, please start using your tongue for chanting the holy name and start connecting with the God, and then see how gradually your life changes, how your thinking changes, everything, your perceptions change, and your life will completely change. So thank you very much for your very, very attentive hearing. And I want to thank the committee of Chitna to give me this opportunity to speak for some time today. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for giving.